This morning, it is our privilege to have with us Pastor Tad Wykopen. He's the assistant pastor at Faith Baptist Church, and I've known Pastor Tad for quite some time. We went to the same high school. He's like 8 years older than me, and I've gotten to know him. He's become really a lifelong friend. We lost contact a little bit. He went to a different Bible college than I did. He picked wrong, but he went to a Bible college up in Wisconsin, and of course I went towards California. And then after, I think it was in 2014 that you came back to the Valley and we were able to connect again. And since then, he's someone that I've spent a lot of time with. He's been a pastor that has encouraged me. He's been a pastor that has been a friend to me. In fact, I think last week we went and had lunch, and it was like 2.5 hours that we were talking. We both really need to pump each other up, and you know how those days are. Sometimes you just need to have that kind of lunch, and he's just been that kind of friend. But I also appreciate his testimony and his work for God. He has been someone that has stayed faithful. He has been one that has taught the Word and been in the Word. And one thing that I can say, knowing him as many years, over two decades as I've known him, that he's someone that doesn't just teach on the Bible, but he lives biblical truth in his life. You see it in him personally. You see it in his family. It's a huge blessing to have his wife, Hannah, and he's got four boys. He was going to try to catch up to Jacob in the Bible, but after having 4 and 5 years, he said, you know what? I think I'm going to let Jacob win that one. But he had four boys in 5 years, and their family is just awesome. So it's a blessing to have him. I asked him if he would come and preach for us. He was a missionary, him and Hannah, I think before the boys were born, in Taiwan for 2 years, a year or 2 years, somewhere around there. And he came and spoke to our teens back then when he was on furlough here. And it was just, it was awesome. So he's a pastor that's been on the mission field. He understands what the mission field is. And then God brought him home, and he's been pastoring since he's been back. And I just thank God for him. And so Pastor Tad, if you would come and share with us what God has laid on your heart, let's welcome him this morning to Bethany Baptist Church.
Good morning. I'm thankful to be here and to be able to preach again and hear. Lord, I thank the Lord for friends like Jeremy, and this month is Pastor Appreciation Month, and so it's a wonderful month to show appreciation to your pastors, and I'm so thankful for pastors that I have in our own church, but also in really in the Rio Grande Valley, but also other places. And so this is a month that especially is a great month to appreciate them. Take them out, give them a gift card, do whatever. But Pastor Appreciation Month, I want to say thank you to Jeremy. He's a friend and a great introduction. I paid him a couple of bucks for that. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Luke, to the book of Luke, chapter 4? As I've had the opportunity to preach at least usually once a month at Faith, I've been, since I'm preaching 12 to 15 times a year in the main service, once I started. Just randomly, I went through all the random passages that I wanted to preach. I decided I'm just going to start preaching through books. So I'm preaching through Luke, and I'm a little farther along in the book at Faith, but this is going back to a passage that I thought was very impactful to me, and one that may not seem like a missions passage. And when it's missions month, you would want to go to a passage that seems like you should go to all the world and preach the gospel. This may not be apparently the first, or might not be a missions passage that you would think of immediately, but I think you're going to see how beautiful this passage is and how wonderful it is showing the power and authority of Jesus. And this power and authority of Jesus should also help us see the importance and the priority of preaching the gospel, the priority of preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. You know, in our world today, people love and they crave power. People want power. They want authority. People love to be in control. Sometimes you may think in your marriage relationship, you're like, oh, I know a person like that. Or you may look at it in the government or whatever around the world, and you see people want to have authority. They want to have control. And oftentimes that is used by force, by means of having more power or money or authority. And how somebody gets power and control is an interesting thing. We want power and authority in our own lives sometimes just to be able to control our situation. What we're going to see today, first, we're going to see a little bit of the authority and power of Jesus and where it comes from. And then we're going to see what he does with that power and authority. Look in verse 31 of Luke chapter 4. And I'm just going to go through this. We're not going to read the whole passage at once. It's a big passage. But we're going to go from 31 all the way to the end of the chapter. And you may think that's a whole lot, but I'll move through it pretty quickly, hopefully, and be able to see these things. But we want to see, where is the authority of Jesus? Well, it starts with, number one, the authority of Jesus is through his word. Verse 31 says this, "And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on a Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority." When Jesus goes to Capernaum, he goes to the synagogue. And when he's there, he's preaching or teaching the word. And it wasn't his power, it wasn't his strength, it wasn't his look. It was something that changed the people when they heard, they heard something and they realized that his words possessed authorities. Authority. The Pharisees were the ones that normally taught. And the Pharisees, you would think that they should have power and authority, but what the Pharisees often did was simply preached and made a commentary on a text. They would say, this is what this rabbi thinks, and this rabbi of this time thinks, and this is what this rabbi says, and then they would just go. And so it was more of a commentary. And when Jesus preaches, all of a sudden the word that they hear from him has authority. The first place that people noticed Christ's authority and his power was not through miracles. It wasn't through his performance. The first place that we see that Jesus' power and his authority is recognized is through his word ministry. We see that in verse 32. It says, "For his word possessed authority." The word of God, the word of Jesus, is especially powerful. It has the power to give life. It has the power to change and to save those that are lost. It has the power to redeem and to change nations. The power of the Word of God, the power of Jesus' Word, is in ultimate authority, much, much stronger than all other things. Now, I was born in the 80s, close to around when Jeremy was. And so we're children kind of out of the 90s, growing up in that time. And it was an interesting culture time in the 90s. I mean, some incredible, you know, clothing options then. And, you know, some interesting things in the 90s went on. Also, there was something called the Power Team. Now, the Power Team was really big in the 90s, and they would go around, and they were these dudes that were just like Jack. They were strong. They had these huge muscles. They would get up on stage in a church. All of this is for Jesus, right? They would get up on a stage and they would break a bunch of bricks. They would break some cinder blocks. They would lift like 50 little kids from the audience, right? And all these crazy things that were incredible. And, breaking chains, things that seemed powerful and amazing. And they were doing a good thing. They were preaching the Word of God. But, you know, sometimes the way that we look at life in the church and ministry and things like that, we kind of forget the power of just the Word of God, the power that God's Word has. And we sometimes think that we need other gimmicks or other things that would maybe promote the gospel or get people in. And what we see in the Word of God over and over is it is His Word, the Word of God, that possesses authority. Now, if you want to be part of the Power Team, that's fine. Go to, you know, TrueFit and start working out. But if you want to have power to preach, if you want to have power to share Christ with other people, if you want to have power to see people changed, the power that we need is from the Word of God. The power that we need, and we saw from Jesus, his authority was immediately from his Word. But we see that Jesus had more power than just that. We see in verse 33, the power of Jesus over the spirit realm. Jesus had power, and his word gave him power, but it was over the spirit realm as well. Look in verse 33. In the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent, come out of him. And then when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. They were all amazed and said to one another, what is this word? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And reports about him went into every place in the surrounding region. And so in the same place that Jesus is teaching, there's this man that has a demon. This unclean demon, which I'm not sure, it's interesting, the comment, unclean demon. I would think all demons are unclean. So this is obviously a very, very bad demon, is possessing this man. And Jesus sees this. And Jesus doesn't just have power and say, I'm above everybody, I'm better than everybody, and I'm just going to use my power for my own gain. Jesus uses his word authority and his word power to change lives. And he changes lives by looking at this man, and he calls him and he says, come out of him. He tells this man, or he tells this spirit to leave. And you know, if you look in Luke in the past couple chapters, you constantly see these words. And if you read the book of Luke, you'd see these words over and over. The Spirit of God was on Jesus. And there's a contrast in power right here. There's an unclean spirit, an unclean demon in this man. And Jesus, the one that has the Spirit of God on him, the one that is God, there's this contrast of this battle. And Jesus is the one calling out this unclean demon and commands him, him to come out. And all of a sudden, we understand Jesus has power and authority over the spirit realm. You know, this demon comes out of the man and throws the man down. The demon wants to hurt, wants to cause pain, and wants to cause destruction. But Jesus wants to use his power and his authority to help and to heal, and to restore the broken. Amazement sets them in among the people. They're all amazed. He commands the spirit. He speaks with authority. And he's showing power over the spirit realm. And even without modern technology, what does it say? All of a sudden, the word of God, or this news about Jesus, is spreading everywhere. Well, they don't have WhatsApp, they don't have iMessage or any kind of, you know, green bubble Android or anything like that to text each other and be like, hey, you know, Jesus is here. Just word of mouth, and it spreads everywhere. And all of a sudden, all these people know that he has a power and authority. He has power over with his word, and he has power over the spirit realm. And look in verse 38, we're going to see that Jesus has power over sickness. He has power over the physical realm. He has power over the physical realm. Verse 38, he rose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who were sick with various diseases, brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed him. And demons also came out of many, crying, saying, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not let them or allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. Jesus has an interesting situation here. He leaves the synagogue and he goes to Simon's house, and Peter's there. Simon's there, and he has, you know, some people have wondered if Peter was single or not. Obviously, he's married. He goes to his mother-in-law's house, and somebody must have prayed for the mother-in-law to get healed. Whether it was Peter or not, I'm not sure if he was the one praying for his mother-in-law. But they called Jesus, and there's a realization that she's sick with a fever. You understand? I mean, obviously, 2,000 years ago, they don't have, you know, aspirin or ibuprofen or Tylenol from CVS. They don't go down to those local pharmacies. They have certain things that are going to obviously, different people. There's obviously doctors. I mean, the person that wrote this book is called Dr. Luke. So there are some kind of medicinal things that they may use. But a fever is a serious thing. And Jesus goes to the mother-in-law's house and is there and just simply says, just rebukes the fever. The word rebuke is interesting because, I mean, it's something that, you know, like my dog, when he's picking something up in the yard he's not supposed to, that's what I do. I rebuke him. Text, put that down, right? And it's some kind of stern command. And Jesus, this is crazy power that we don't see and understand, because Jesus is just so much more powerful. But by his word, he speaks and he rebukes this sickness. This isn't something that I have a power. I mean, I can preach, but I don't have the power to rebuke sicknesses out of my kids. I would have loved to have that, because that would have saved me tons of doctor's bills. We don't have those powers, but Jesus did. His power, his word, possessed that authority to change lives in the spirit realm, in the physical realm, and we're going to see for eternity. He shows that he has power over the physical realm, and he takes this fever. And when does she get changed? When does she get better? Well, I mean, he says immediately. I mean, you think about how long, when you get sick, how many days it takes to recover and feel better. When I was young, it seemed like a day or two, and I'm like, I'm all the way back, I'm ready to go. And now I'm like, man, I think I could milk this thing for a whole week, you know? I mean, that's just how it is. We just get, you know, our sicknesses start to last. And what does Peter's mother-in-law do? Gets up and immediately starts serving. It's not something that we look at her and say, man, what an incredible woman. We look at Jesus and say, what an incredible God, and what incredible authority. Jesus's miracles were totally different than the so-called miracles we sometimes see today. I mean, we understand salvation is a wonderful miracle, but there will be sometimes people that will claim that they have some kind of power like this. Let me tell you the difference. The difference is when we look at a power or a miracle here with Jesus, look how Jesus's miracles are. Jesus's miracles were instantaneous. It happened right away. Jesus's miracles were also verifiable. Immediately, everybody knew that this was true. There was no questioning. Is she really healthy? Well, she was laying there sick with a fever, probably to the point of even death, and she immediately gets up and starts serving. It's immediate, it's verifiable, and it's permanent. It's a change that wasn't all of a sudden, she's better for about 30 minutes, and then she's sick again. No, she's better. Jesus and his miracles are incredible. His power is incredible because his word carries that. Remember, we live under this curse and this fall. We remember Genesis 3, and we remember all the sin that happened then, how Adam and Eve sinned. And for years and years, all since that time, we've been fighting against the curse, fighting against all sorts of diseases, all sorts of sicknesses. And all of this reminds us of this is not how it's supposed to be. When my children get sick, when somebody in my family is sick, or in our church, and as you know, you see different things happen, we understand that this is not how it should be. We want things to be restored. And Christ coming to this earth, and as he starts his preaching ministry, is starting that restoration process. It's a beautiful thing because he starts preaching with this power, and he starts saying that he has the power and authority over all things to rule and to reign. And I would say, where do we see this healing and restoration power now? Well, we see it in the church. We see it where lives are changed for Christ. And you would be like, well, my sickness is still here. Well, I know. I have a stepmom who has been dealing with stage 4 colon cancer for the past 4 years. I would love for that to just be gone and never think about it again. But we understand sicknesses sometimes point us to Jesus, but Jesus is now, through his church and through people preaching the word, is healing and restoring broken relationships and healing people that have sin. And that is where we see the primary healing and restoration today. So let me encourage you, what we should prioritize is the word ministry. The word ministry of Jesus' word, the word of God, is what we should prioritize in our church here and in our missions, sending missionaries, and in churches all around the globe. We should prioritize the preaching of the word of God. Prioritize preaching and building churches that there's going to be more preaching so that other people can hear. You maybe think, well, I don't know if that's really needed. Well, let's go on and just see in the end of this chapter, and I think we'll make this point pretty clear from Jesus' own words. Point four, the last point I want to make, is that Jesus' purpose was to proclaim his power and authority over every realm. And this last place he proclaims it is his word authority over the kingdom of God, preaching the kingdom of God. It says in verse 42, when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. People sought him and came to him, and they would have kept him from leaving. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. I mean, this was an exhausting day that Jesus had just had. He's been in the synagogue preaching. He's gone around healing different people, healed the Peter's mother-in-law. And all of a sudden, there's a little section that Luke, just in the text, he kind of sets it apart. And there's this story that's been going on. And we don't get a whole lot of details of what exactly is going on, like specific ministry things. But Jesus is here. He's gone away to a desolate place. And over in Luke, we're going to see this, where Jesus kind of gets away. He prays on his own. And then once he's prayed, he goes out and does something new in his ministry. Next time you're going to see this in this book, you'll see that he went away and prayed and was quiet. And then he went out and chose his disciples. And then he's going to go away and pray. And then he's going to do other things. And Jesus does this and he prepares. He goes out. And all these people seek after him. All these people want him to come and help them. And Jesus is there, and he says something in verse 43 that I think should help us to understand Jesus' priority for his life on earth. Jesus' authority, his purpose for what he does for the rest of his ministry, he says in verse 43, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. For I was sent for this purpose. You may think, well, what is Jesus actually doing? What's the important things that Jesus was doing? And you may, if you were recounting it, you may say, well, Jesus was healing people. He was helping the sick. He was healing the blind. He went to the poor and changed their economic status. And you know, we sometimes have a gospel today. We have people that preach a gospel that would say, the church should only be worried about those things. That's the biggest priority. Why aren't you helping all the poor people? If the church would actually do its job, nobody would be sick, nobody would be poor. It'd be just a wonderful thing. Well, that sounds like almost a political candidate sometimes. I mean, that's a crazy statement. The reality is Jesus is here to preach the kingdom of God so people are restored to a right relationship with him. And he has all these other things he could do. They want him to stay with them. And what does he do? He says, I must preach the kingdom of God. We see first he prioritized it over his healing and works ministry. The word had to be proclaimed. The healing and those things were just sometimes an emphasis to show that this truly is the Son of God. But Jesus always prioritized his preaching ministry. We also see the good news of the kingdom of God was critical to proclaim. He could have proclaimed all kinds of things. He could have healed all the time. He could have said other things. But what does he say? The kingdom of God is at hand. And he knew that he couldn't do everything to change the whole nation of Israel and all the people. He couldn't save all of them from their sicknesses, but he knew what would change them. He knew preaching the gospel was what would change them. And he said, I must go to the different towns and villages. And where we're going to see Jesus in certain points is beyond the borders of Israel. And people are going to be taking that gospel message beyond the border of Israel. And Jesus is helping us understand that the word of God, the priority of preaching, should go beyond just our own little closed-in neighborhood or wherever it is. We must be thinking bigger than just simply this area right here in Mission, in Palmhurst, in McAllen, in Far Texas. We should be thinking in areas beyond this. Jesus is thinking the gospel must be preached here. It must go forward in other places. Preaching the gospel was a priority of Jesus. And you would think, well, that's good. Jesus was the Son of God. I don't know that it's really important for me to worry about, you know, being a preacher of the Word of God. I don't know that it's important for me to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I just want, you know what I want in my church? I've got a list of about 20 things that I'd like to give Pastor Jeremy that I'd like. Those are the things that I'd want. You know, I would like better coffee. I would like valet parking. I would like, and those may be extreme. I mean, I would like valet parking too, but, you know, let's be honest, it's not happening. We have a list of things that we want. And we think preaching the Word of God, hearing it, that's good, but that's not a priority. And I look at Jesus and he's like, no, he could heal. He could fix all of our little heartaches and our, you know, sicknesses and all our injuries. That would be awesome. I would love it. I would love for Jesus to do that. But Jesus knows what we need most. It's the Word of God preached to our hearts, because our hearts are often cold and need the preaching of the Word of God, and it is the only thing that will save. You would say, well, this is maybe just Jesus' priority. Well, Paul says this in Colossians 1:28. He says, we proclaim him. That's preaching, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works in me. Paul's mission statement is here in Colossians 1:28. It's one of my favorite verses. It would be like my life verse for ministry. Paul said, everything I do is so that I can proclaim him, preach him. You'd say, well, that, you know, that's just, you know, something, whatever. Well, you know what? When Paul showed up to a church, he would preach the gospel immediately. Acts 14 and verse 21, when they preached, or when they had preached the gospel to that city, they made many disciples. They returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. When they appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed, and then they passed through going through different places. But this Acts 14 passage, if you just want to see what does a church plant look like, you want to say, what does missions look like? If you just picked up Acts 14 and read verses like 21 through 23, 24 right there, that's kind of what you do when you start a church. You go, you preach the gospel, you make disciples, you strengthen the believers, you set up other elders in that church or pastors in that church so that they can preach the gospel, and a missionary goes to another place and they do the same thing. They preach the gospel, people get saved, strengthen them, see elders or pastors grown up, do it over and over again. And praise God, that got here to Mission, Texas. And we have a church here that I'm so thankful has been a faithful church for so many years. We have other faithful churches all around the valley. Do you know this valley is growing at a ridiculous amount of speed? I mean, since the 90s, since however long, I mean, the Magic Valley, in some sense, is because it grows everything, not just fruit and all the different vegetables, but tons of people. I mean, where I grew up in McAllen was 5 acres, and I hit golf balls in the middle of nowhere, and it had cows all over. And now where that house is a main road that I would hit a water or would hit a Burger King if I tried to hit golf balls in my backyard there. And you know it just as well as I. Every place in this area, everywhere around, is growing up. What do we need more of? Well, not car washes. What do we need more of? Not more Whataburgers. I mean, those are all nice. What do we need more of is more gospel preaching churches. We need people that are going to stand up and say, I am going to preach the Word of God. There's a lot of young men in this audience here. There are a lot of things that we can think to do with our lives. And I often think, oh man, I could have done this. Being a fishing guide was what a dream, right? I just wasn't a good enough fisherman. You just think about all the things you could dream of doing. What do I want to do? Well, something that I don't have to work hard at and I make a lot of money. Well, sounds great. Maybe what you should consider doing is preaching the Word of God for your life. You may think, well, that's just not important. There's other things we could do with the church. I could help with that. I could you know, run the barbecue pit. I could clean the bathrooms. Those are needed, absolutely. And I'm not diminishing those. But we often overlook the importance of preaching the Word of God. Men, you may be thinking, no, this is for somebody else. This is for Jeremy. This is for a couple other guys. You may be, I would encourage you, think about what would God have you do? You may say, well, maybe if I did that, God would send me to the ends of the earth. We're at the ends of the earth. We're in South Texas. If God sends you here, I mean, I thought I'd never come back here and preach the gospel. And then I realized South Texas is like a great place to preach the gospel. It's a great place for us to say, there's more churches needed. There's more faithful pastors needed. Preach the gospel. How do I know that this is important? Romans 10, 14 says this. How will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Let me encourage you. The kingdom of God is critical. The kingdom of God is what we should preach. And you may say, well, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the fact that Jesus rules and reigns and will rule and reign for eternity. Let me encourage you to understand that. We have an election season coming up. We often think of the kingdom, the USA, and all these things. Wonderful. That's great. We vote. Those are good things to do. But we must understand preaching the kingdom of God. Jesus rules and reigns. He forgives, and we can repent and believe is the thing we must preach. What did the crowds do? The crowds in verse 42, it says in the New Living Translation, I love what it says here. We read this. Early morning, next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. The crowd searched everywhere for him. And when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave. Why did they beg him not to leave? The crowds, they wanted food. They wanted healing, miracles. They wanted a show. They wanted to see these things. Jesus, give us a free meal, fix everything we have, and then just send us on our way to have a better day. I like that too. But you know what Jesus says? He says, I can't stay with you. And you know Jesus loves people. He cared for people. And he cared so much that he left those people that were needy to go and say, I told you what your greatest need is. I need to go tell other people what their greatest need is. Their greatest need is to have salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. We often choose convenience, comfort, popularity over all other things. And I would say this in my life, and probably you've seen in yours, that sometimes convenience, comfort, and popularity hold us back from doing what we know we should. That sometimes holds us back from simply sharing the gospel to somebody that we have an opportunity with. That sometimes prevents us from saying, I'm going to give to support these missionaries that are around the world. Somebody in Lebanon, where there's fighting, is there in Beirut preaching the gospel. What an incredible blessing to have somebody with a burden to do that. We should support those people. We should pray for those people. We should say, Lord, I'm willing to give the gospel to my local community. That guy is getting bombed and having places all around him in chaos, and he still wants to preach the gospel. And I'm just not willing to preach the gospel because the air conditioner is set at 79 and I'm uncomfortable. We have to understand the priority of the gospel ministry. It's not because I'm trying to emphasize it. It's because of what Jesus said. Verse 43, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God. I was sent for this purpose. We have one message, folks. We have a gospel message of the kingdom of God. We have one method. The method is the proclamation of the word of God, preaching the word of God. And we have one moment in time. We have one life, and that's it. Use this life to proclaim the goodness of God, the kingdom of God, his saving power to those around you. Men, there are some of you that I pray that God would call to say, I'm willing to use my life to preach for the glory of God for all of my days. you will not be disappointed when Jesus says at the end, well done. Let's pray. Father, we are just sometimes so confused when we come to the Word of God. We look at what Jesus did and we sometimes think these are the things that we wish Jesus would do for us, heal and give us all these things and make our lives better. But Lord, what you are showing us in this passage and what you show us constantly is what we need is you. And what we need it through is through the Word of God, and often through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, would you continue to use this church as a lighthouse to this community because they preach the faithful Word of God? Would you call people from this church to go out to preach throughout the world, throughout this valley? And Lord, even raise up the next generation of preachers for this church and the other churches in the valley. We need that, Lord. Would you work in the hearts to do that, Lord? Mission starts here in our own hearts. I pray that we would be faithfully willing to give, to support those, but we would also be willing to go and to preach the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the priority of the Word of God. Help it to be our priority in hearing the preaching. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.